presence of the Lord that we feel here. Appreciate Brother Trent and his wife obeying the Lord tonight, singing, and just feel a good spirit here. Trust God to meet us tonight. Luke chapter 13. I'll try to share what I feel on my heart for tonight. In the absence of our pastor, he's been sick, and most of you know that, some of you do not, but I've just endeavored. I didn't know until about 6:30 this morning I was going to be preaching today, so I've had things on my heart. I just didn't know for sure if I was going to be ministering today, and I got that confirmation this morning, so I've been all day just trying to get my mind around this and what direction the Lord would have us go, and I trust that he's going to help us tonight, as he always is faithful to do. And just got a little something I want to share with you tonight. Luke chapter 13. If you're there, say amen. It's a parable. Jesus is talking here, and he's telling us parable for a certain end here, and I've not got time to get into all that takes place in Luke 13, but I just want to share this one portion here. It's verses 6 through 9. The Bible says this: "He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree and planted it in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after this thou shalt cut it down." I'm going to preach tonight on planted for a purpose. Planted for a purpose. Stretch forth your hand this way. Ask the Holy Ghost to meet us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Pray that you touch tonight, Lord. You only know what you desire with this message. Lord, I pray that you take and make it alive, Lord. Touch my lips with the coals from off your altar, God. And Lord, make these words not just simply words of enticing men's wisdom, but Lord, let it come with the demonstration of the Spirit, Lord. Let it be alive. Let it be quick. Let it be powerful. Stronger than any two-edged sword, Lord. And let it divide asunder our hearts tonight, that we would be found in your presence, O God. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Here we find this story here that is told. Jesus shared this parable, and there's a lot of different parables that Jesus shared during his ministry, some of which are included in certain gospels and some aren't included in others. But this is one parable specifically mentioned here in the book of Luke. There are other instances where we refer to barren fig trees in the other two gospels, other two synoptic gospels. But this is the only time that we find this parable attached to this fig tree here. And we begin to look here and to understand what Jesus is talking about. He begins to tell this parable. He's trying to illustrate the importance of fruitfulness in the life of the believer. And he begins to tell them there about there was a certain man who owned a vineyard. He had a place for vines to grow, to bear forth grapes or olives, whatever type of vineyard it was there. But they would grow forth these grapes here within this vineyard. And he comes to this tree here, and he was hoping to find the fig tree bearing forth figs here. And we find that he comes to it, and he finds that there is nothing been produced. And he says to the vine dresser, he said, I'm ready to cut it down. I'm done dealing with this tree. But the vine dresser said, give it one more year. I'm going to dung about it. I'm going to work with it. I'm going to see what it'll produce. And after this year, if it bears nothing, you can cut it down. But if it bears fruit, let it live and let it produce. I will tell you, it is the will of God. We've been planted for this purpose that we bear fruit. We've been planted for the purpose and the sole reason within the kingdom of God to bear fruit. I don't know where life may find all of us. I know most of you here pretty well. But I will tell you, wherever God has planted you in this moment, he has desired for you to bear fruit there. You are not there without reason, and you are not there without purpose. God has planted with purpose in mind that you would bear fruit. And I want to talk about this matter of fruitfulness tonight. We find that he said this was planted for a purpose, and we must understand this tree, who planted it first of all. The Bible says in Luke 13:6, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Now he spake also this parable, saying this about this certain man. Who is this certain man within this parable? We understand that according to the context of Scripture, as we begin to read this story here, this certain man surely was the Lord. It was a representation of our Lord. We find that in different places what God has done in the life of a believer when he plants us into his kingdom. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He pulled us up out of the muck. He pulled us up out of the mire. He pulled us up out of the pit that we were living in, as the Old Testament psalmist would say, and he planted us on a rock to stay. He planted us in a place of provision to where we could bear fruit for his glory. And this was who he planted here. He is the one doing the planting. In John 15:1, Jesus said these words, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He's the vine dresser. He's the keeper of the vineyard here. He said, and I am the true vine. He goes on in verse 5 of chapter 15 to say, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Now that alone is a powerful statement that we could spend much time expounding, because he said, I am the vine, you are the branches, and without me ye can do nothing. You cut off the branches from the vine, and they will surely die because they cannot live on their own. So it is with a man. You break the union between a man and Christ, and you break that in two, and that man cannot live, cannot bear fruit, cannot produce spiritually. That is the same way it is with us. But I will tell you these words of encouragement: tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, nor sword can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. The only thing that can separate us from the vine, the only thing that can separate us from Christ, is our own will that goes against the will of the Father. And if we decide to separate ourselves from his presence, that is the only thing that can bring us out of Christ. He goes on in Colossians, Paul writing, he said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Psalms 103 says, know ye not that the Lord, he is God? It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. It was for a purpose, is what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Psalms 1:3, the Bible tells us this, more familiar passages here, and the Bible says, he shall be talking about the godly man, like a tree by the rivers of water, that when planted, bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. We were planted for this purpose. It is in God's vineyard, and our Lord tells us how it came there. The vineyard was not in its natural situation. It did not spring up there, nor was it bought there by accident. God himself planted this fig tree in the midst of this vineyard. It wasn't just happenstance that this fig tree came about within this vineyard. It was planted for a purpose. The owner of that vineyard wanted figs. He didn't plant it because he liked the way the tree looked. He didn't plant it because he liked the way the leaves looked. He didn't plant it because he liked what color they turned or the flowers that it produced. He planted it for the purpose of receiving figs. And I will tell you this, God has planted you for a purpose as well. It's not how you can adorn yourself or how you can fail to adorn yourself that God planted you. He planted you for the purpose of producing fruit, and all of those things follow in suit. Look at the process of the planting here. When it takes time to plant something, when you go to plant something, take an apple for example. It is a delicious and beautiful fruit, but the apple alone cannot produce anything. You know what it requires? But first it has to be peeled. And then it has to be cut in pieces, and you have to get down to the core of it and break it open and pull out the seeds. But oftentimes when the Lord finds us, what he begins to do, he begins to peel back all of those things that would get in the way. He peels back our pride. He peels back our self-existence. He peels back our personal ambitions. He peels back our own desires. He begins to cut us up. He begins to break us in his presence. And I will tell you something. Those who have been greatly blessed by God are also those that you will find who have also first been greatly broken by him. Go through the Bible, read the examples of men of faith, men like Abraham who left his family and everything that he ever known. God didn't just simply fulfill a promise in a moment, but rather it took a lifetime. He pulled Abraham out of idolatry. And for years he began to tell him about a promise he was going to receive, but yet he did not receive it. He began to tell him about what he was going to do with his descendants, but yet Abraham never saw it. And there he had to trust God. What was God doing? He was peeling him back and he was breaking him so he could get down to where he could find something to plant, something that would be useful for his kingdom. It's the same way with us. God peels us back layer by layer and he begins to find the things that are useful. He begins to find the things that he could use for his glory, and all of those other things he pulls out of the way so that we can be used for the glory of God. John chapter 12 and verse 24, Jesus said these words, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." What is the moral? There's got to be death. It's got to be a dying to self. We got to be planted for the glory of God. But he can't plant the fruit. He has to plant the seed. He has to get to the fruit. Peeling back all of those other things that would get in the way. Pulling back all of these other things that would keep the seed from ever germinating. He said, except you take that corn of wheat and plant it into the ground, it cannot. It will abide alone. But if you plant it into the ground, it is in the darkness that God does his work. The purpose for the planting was this. In our story, we find clear words for the purpose for which this tree was planted. Notice verse 6, the Bible says, a certain man planted a fig tree in his vineyard, and he came and he sought fruit thereon. The reason it was planted was so that it would bear fruit. And then it's the same with us tonight. Christ emphasizes the same principle in us. In John chapter 15 and verse 8, he said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." God's glorified only when we bear fruit, when we produce something for his glory. What did he tell us? He said, "You are a city set upon a hill that no man can hide." But he also told us that we are the light of the world. He said, "We will do good works and men will see it and they'll glorify our Father which is in heaven." What is it? We produce something for the glory of God. And this is God's will for us. What was expected from this tree? It is that it shall take root, it will grow where it is planted, and it will receive the showers of heaven as they fall on it. We may say yes, but God says no, this will not satisfy me. What I want is fruit, not wide-spreading branches, not luxurious foliage. I must have the tree planted for something, and it must produce fruit. It's not how good you look coming to church. It's not about having a fashion contest when you get here. It's not about how faithful you can appear to other people and how you can keep all the ordinances. I believe in keeping the ordinances. I believe in understanding the bylaws of a church and knowing what they believe before you enter into covenant with those people. But I will tell you this, it's more than that. It's about being fruitful. It's about producing something in your life. This expectation of fruit was reasonable. We are called to produce. But once we are planted, there's a purpose for us to bring something forth. Since the beginning, everything that was planted, everything that was created by God, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, everything that was created, the Bible said, and it produced after its own kind. Production. It's the reason. It's the whole plan of God. I will tell you, it's no different in the new covenant. We have entered into covenant with Jesus Christ. We are here to produce something for the glory of God. Where was it planted? A wise farmer always plants in a place that is prepared so that something can be produced, one man said. I thought that is the truth. A wise farmer is not going to go into a field that's grown over with weeds and begin to cast his seed there because he's going to get very little for his labor. A wise farmer is not going to go out on the highway and start throwing out seeds because he knows it'll never take root there. A wise farmer is not going to go into a briar patch and try and produce a harvest. Neither does God. When he plants his seed, he plants it in a place where it can produce. If you are here tonight and you're born again, it is because the seed was planted in a heart that can produce something. So therefore, we are planted on prepared ground. The seed was planted on prepared ground. Seed is not wasted on the roadway where it would be trampled. Seed is not thrown among the thorns, for they will surely choke it out. Neither is it wasted on the rocky ground, because it will never take root there. But rather, it is planted on a place where it is prepared already. These fig seeds were planted in a vineyard, not on some neglected waste ground. They're under great culture and care. This is the condition of those favored with the privileges and the blessed of the gospel dispensation. We are God's precious seed by the blood of Christ. Never think he plants us carelessly. Do not think that where you're planted, you've been planted carelessly, or it's by happenstance that you're where you're at. He planted you for a purpose there, to produce something in the midst of whatever you face. God's vantage point for planting is always greater than we perceive. It may seem unfavorable, but God always prepared the ground before he plants us anywhere. God already prepared the way. I preached this morning out of Acts chapter 4, where he talked about the providence of God. He said, we see your hand in all of these things. They declared that in their prayer there. Oh, it is the way of God. He always prepares things ahead of time. What we consider distractions might be the very thing that God may use for his glory. You never know. Wake up on Monday morning, we're about out of gas and we're running on empty, and we didn't plan on stopping by the convenience store that morning, and we get a little frustrated because it wasn't in our morning plan and we're already running late for work. But you don't know. You might run into somebody there that morning that needs to hear about Christ. They might need to see your love for somebody else. They might need to see something produced in your life, and it may be for a purpose that you are there in that moment. Some people say, well, I'm in this stage of life and I don't know what my purpose is at this moment. I will tell you, if nothing else, you are there to bear fruit. I can't tell you every person what field you're planted in. Some people are planted in the field of retirement. Don't think that it's to be at ease. And I don't mean that to those as a jab at those who are retired. But it is for a purpose. God has planted you there. If you're at a job site, you're working with other people, you're planted there for a reason. God has a purpose for you there. He never plants without purpose. But there was a problem with what was planted. The Bible says that he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. As I read those words, they get down in my spirit and I say, oh God, could it be that there's times that he looks over my life expecting to find fruit, expecting to see produce, expecting to see fruits of his labor and the work and the toil that he has put in, but yet all he sees is a bunch of foliage, leaves, and a nice looking plant, but no fruit on it? God help us. When he comes looking, let him find fruit. I often wonder if the situation is like Isaiah when he prophesied in Isaiah 37 and 3. He said, the children are come to birth and there is not strength to bring forth. The picture there is a woman in labor trying to bring forth a child, but she doesn't have the strength to bring the child forth. How many times are we spiritually weak and God wants us to produce something, but our spiritual neglect has caused us to grow weak? And in a moment when we should produce, we rather fail to produce because we don't have the strength of the Lord to produce the fruit that he has desired.
Could it be perhaps like Revelation 3 and 1? And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, and thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. He said, you claim vibrance of life, but yet down beneath the surface you're dead, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That word dead there means destitute of force or power, inactive or inoperative, not able to be used. One of the greatest or the saddest things that you can read in any person's life is that they were inoperative, not able to be used. One of the strongest words in the New Testament is the word reprobate. You know what the word reprobate means? It is the idea of being thrown in the scrap heap because it is good for nothing. Oh God, we're called to produce. We're called to work. We're called to labor. We're called to yield something out of our lives. God, let it be in our life. Notice the two reactions to the problem. First of all, there's the reaction of the man who owned the vineyard. Behold, he said, I come 3 years seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? He said, I've come 3 years. Why cumbereth it the ground? The word cumber here means to render barren or sterile. By taking up the juices of the earth, this useless tree rendered the ground sterile and prevented the growth of neighboring vines. He said, in other words, it is a consumer and it is not producing anything. Wonder across America how many people go to churches and they simply consume and they never produce. They never yield anything. It's all about what can the preacher say to me? How can he pour into my life? What can the Sunday school teacher say to build me up? But yet they never produce anything. Oh God, help us not to live in such a state, but come with the mindset of producing fruit. We look at this story, it is not unreasonable. Some people would say, well, he's only come 3 years. But however, it's important to note because this fig was not simply 3 years old, because it takes 3 to 5 years for a fig tree to ever to produce fruit in the first place. So this tree probably wasn't, it was probably somewhere between 5 and 8 years old. So here it is, possibly 8 years this man has come. 3 years in a row, he come to find figs on this tree. 8 years, it's cumbered the ground. It's taken up space. It's drawn up nutrients. And he said, if it doesn't, it's not producing anything, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? This is not harsh or unreasonable for him to say this. But yet we find in verse 8, and he, the vine dresser, answering and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I dig about it and dung it. This man realized the problem was not the fruit, but the root. He said, all you're seeing is what it's not producing, but there's a reason it's not producing. There's a reason. There's a two-step process to produce fruit. He said, I'm going to dig about it, and I'm going to dung it. In other words, he said, I'm going to get down there. I'm going to make sure there's nothing hindering the roots from growing down into the ground and getting the nutrients it needs to produce. Second of all, I'm going to put fertilizer around it so that it can draw up nutrients. And so hopefully within a year, it's going to produce fruit. Oh, he said he's going to make it sure and dig around it, make sure water could get to the roots, make sure the roots were not entangled and balled up. If they are tangled, they would be torn loose and pried apart and loosened. I will tell you this. This vine dresser is a picture of the Holy Ghost in our lives. He comes in sometimes beneath the surface and he begins to dig, and it gets uncomfortable as he begins to pull our root system apart. We begin to wonder, God, why does my life seem like it's being torn apart piece by piece? But what we don't understand, God wants to produce something in our lives, and the Spirit of God reaches in as only he can do, and he begins to pull apart in his sovereignty, and he begins to break apart that root system that has become entangled upon itself so that it can receive the nutrients that are required for growth. The Holy Ghost will have to dig the unseen part of our lives and do some uncomfortable work sometimes. He has to reach into those places we don't like to be touched. Those places we don't like nobody snooping in. The Holy Ghost to come in and He'll begin to dig. And He'll begin to uproot some desires. He'll begin to uproot some things that we didn't want nobody to know about. Some intentions that we had that were ungodly, and He'll begin to pull it to the surface. Some thoughts that we thought that we, nobody will ever know, but the Holy Ghost begins to bring it to the surface. Well, we said, well, that was innocent, and it ain't really going to harm anybody. The Holy Ghost begins to bring it up to the surface, and we get uncomfortable. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't despise those times when the Holy Ghost deals with us. Because I'll tell you one thing, if He's dealing with you, He's still got a purpose for you. It's when He stops dealing that we should get worried. It's when we don't feel convicted that we should begin to cower in the presence of God. But as long as He's dealing, as long as He's digging, as long as He's working, as long as He's striving, we know that God still has a purpose for this life. Oh yes, it gets uncomfortable. There's times we get down to pray and all we can do is repent because God has brought to the surface every little thing. He brings it to our attention and He begins to allow us to see exactly who we are. So that as the psalmist David cried out, "Examine me, O Lord, see if there be any wicked way within me." We do good to ask the Holy Ghost to examine us. Dig, God. Dig in my life. Dig till it hurts. Dig to the place where I'm uncomfortable. Dig to where I feel like I can't be prodded anymore. But God, do the work because I want to produce fruit for Your glory. Not only dig about it, He said, I'm going to dung it or I'm going to fertilize it. Fertilizer works for the purpose so that roots can obtain proper nutrients. Most fertilizer can help the soil around the plant so the plant can obtain more water. Three main ingredients in fertilizer are nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. One, it increases plant's ability to produce stems, leaves, and fruit. Two, it increases the energy in the plant that speeds up production. And three, it increases the proteins that fight off any infection the plant would be susceptible to. He said, in other words, I'm going to protect it. I'm going to procure for it, and I'm also going to feed it. I'm going to give it everything it needs. I'm going to give it every opportunity to produce fruit. I will tell you, wherever you're planted, God's going to give you every opportunity He can to produce fruit. The Spirit of God that came into you, that spirit of adoption, when you got born again, He's going to work, He's going to strive, He's going to deal with you to give you every opportunity He can to produce fruit. But God forbid that we should turn our face away when the Holy Ghost deals. That we should get upset. I've watched people. Preacher starts preaching and the Holy Ghost starts digging. And they get uncomfortable. And rather than yield to the dealing of the Holy Ghost, they turn a deaf ear and they walk away. You talk about a sad life. You find that individual that turned away from the dealing of God and they live a sad, miserable, lonely life. The saddest words of both tongue and pen, these are the words of what could have been. Because I will tell you this, God never gives up on a life unless He's given it every opportunity to produce. And He knows that that life will produce nothing but unrighteousness and rebellion. And in that moment, He gives it up. Read the book of Romans chapter 1. That's what He talked about. Two times God gave them up, but then finally the Bible said He gave them over. Gave them up to vile affections. Gave them up to wickedness. But then finally the Bible said He gave them over to a reprobate mind. As long as God can deal and God can work, He will use His parental guidance to do so. So don't despise the dealing of God when he deals with you, when the Holy Ghost makes you uncomfortable. Yield to it and say, oh God, what are you trying to show me? Dig beneath the surface. Fertilize me so I can grow. Let there be something produced in my life for your glory. We're going to get to John 15 in just a moment. I'm getting ready to close. I'm going to read John chapter 15 tonight, word for word. I mentioned it and quoted it earlier. I want every person to stand all over this building tonight. I know this has been a little different, but it was what I felt the Lord laid upon my heart tonight. The mind of the Spirit for your life is to produce something in and through you. That is the mind of the Spirit for you. It's the mind of God for you, is to produce something in your life. I asked my wife to make her way to the piano. Jesus said these words. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through my word, which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. He said, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and it withereth. And men gather them up and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Notice what he says there in verse 2. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, if you would look at that word taketh away, it literally means this in the Greek. It means to lift or to raise up higher. It is the idea of a branch that has withered and fallen over in the dirt. And it's begin to die there in the dirt. And what the husband would do, he'll reach down his hands and he'll wrap it up. And he'll bring it back up to vitality. He'll even take string and tie it around the root, around the stem of the plant so that it'll be brought up off the ground to give it an opportunity to produce. So in other words, when the Spirit of God walks by our lives and notice that there are places that are wilted, fallen in the dirt, and are not producing, he reaches down his hands and he bears it up, ties it off so it can produce something. He said, in every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. The word purge there means to prune it. He cuts back anything there that he finds was sucking nutrients and not producing anything. Every branch that wasn't producing, he said, I cut it off. Oh God, help us to realize he gives us every opportunity to produce. The saddest words we can ever hear is that it's producing nothing, cut it down. He said the branch that after being born up, after being lifted out of the dirt, still produces nothing. He said he cuts it off and they would throw it into the middle of the vineyard and they would have servants come after those branches withered and died and turned brown. And they would take them to a fire and burn them. Oh God, the purpose of the Lord for our lives is to produce. And I trust everyone under the sound of my voice, that is your purpose in this life. But know this, just because you're producing does not mean you're above the pruning of God's Spirit. Doesn't mean you're above him digging beneath the surface and dealing with you. Doesn't mean that you're above him making you uncomfortable. Because his whole purpose is this, that even the branches that bear fruit, to prune them so that they can bear more fruit. I'll read it one more time. He said, now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches, and he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And the men gather them up, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Simple message. But I trust God to stir our hearts. Spirit of God will examine us. Lord, what are we producing for your glory? What are we producing? Am I growing where you've planted me? Am I producing anything where you planted me? And if I am I open to you pruning me so I can produce more? He said, herein is the Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. I look out across this congregation tonight, and my prayer is for every one of you that you bear much fruit. More fruit than you're producing now. God, let it be. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Lord, when you would come and look at us and say, why cumbereth it the ground? Lord, let your spirit dig beneath the surface one more time. Lord, dung about our root system. Get down to where we're uncomfortable, God, and deal with us like we know only you can. For we were planted for a purpose. We were never planted with happenstance. We were never planted without care. But rather, we were planted for this reason, that we may glorify your name through the things that we produce for your glory. God, prune us, shape us, mold us, and make us so that we can be all that you would have us to be. We ask it in the name of Jesus. If that's your prayer and you want to bear fruit, can we come around these altars, everyone that would? Spend the time in prayer tonight. Say, Lord, let me produce where you planted me. And Lord, as I produce, Lord, prune me so I can bear more for your glory. Can we pray that tonight? Come and join together in prayer as a congregation.